We'll now move to 19, the archery deer for non-resident. Director Kirschman, you'll take this one as well.
Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair and Commissioners, so again, this is probably the proposal that garnered the most attention, most conversations and comments. Sincerely appreciate all the comments and dialogue on this topic. We know it's a very important piece to a lot of folks. This has been a conversation for the commission for a handful of years as well. I do want to quickly remind the commission and those listening in, you know, with this conversation asking for some changes to, in particular, the non-resident piece of archery deer hunting, if we go back a few years, there were steps taken already a few years ago by you, the commission body, in respect to this issue. And those two main factors or adjustments that were made at that time were impose the April 1 deadline to submit a non-resident archery deer application if you had the desire to hunt on public land. And so if your application was not in, even though it was unlimited, but if it was not in by April 1, then your license was only valid on private land. And then number two, you also imposed the restriction on non-residents that for those that did have a license valid on public land, public and private, but from the public land hunting side of it, they would not begin until October 1. So basically the month of September was available to residents only. And so those are two main pieces that have occurred in respect to this conversation. That was probably step number one that occurred in respect to some changes to non-residents. And so it brings us to the proposal in front of you today, which I may offer up as maybe step number two or the next step in some of the actions that have been considered. And again, the proposal in front of you, very briefly again, would go over the primary changes. You can look at the table just for your memory is right now it would be for non-residents. There would only be the one statewide non-resident license that would be available. With a limited number of 2,200 licenses available to be valid on public and private, there would not be the necessity to have the April 1 deadline for an application. So that proposal right now would take away the April 1 deadline of putting that in place. Again, 2,200 licenses available that would be valid both on public and private land. It would be unlimited number of licenses available for private land only. The public land start date would still remain in place. So somebody that, even if you drew one of those 2,200 licenses, you still would not be able to hunt on public land until October 1, leaving September for residents. And again, from the license types of the antlers license, still be limited to one in that arena for non-residents as well as for residents. So there is no change from those pieces of the conversation for residents themselves. I will direct you, there is one recommended change to the proposal. It has to do with some allowance of obtaining an additional license for those folks that do participate in some of our city antlerless license hunts that do occur, working with some municipalities that are trying to reduce deer numbers. It doesn't impact the bigger conversation that's taking place right now in terms of limiting non-residents, but you can see the recommended change here so that an individual could have more than one license if they're participating in one of our municipality hunts where we work with the cities to try to reduce deer numbers. So it doesn't have any impact on the bigger conversation, but it is a recommended change to the proposal. So, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, I'd sure try to answer any questions that you have. And then we can go from there from an action standpoint and guide you through and walk through with that one small proposed change.
Comments from the commission on this? Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, I do think this is a good step forward, but I agree with a lot of the presenters here today that I'd like to see it go a little further. So when we are doing our deer plan, I kind of look forward to that, to where we can maybe bring some of the other ideas that they had to the table and implement at that time, where, you know, maybe going to units and the 8% on those regions, not little units, but the regions, and I think that'd be a good idea to bring forward during our deer plan discussion. So I make a motion to approve archery.
Motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Locken. Additional comments on that motion? Commissioner Lockett.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that, you know, archery is not a primitive sport anymore. It's gotten very high tech, and the popularity is growing a lot faster than probably anybody in the room here expected. You know, it's still a 4-month season, and of course the archery guy person can hunt 100% of the rut. They have a great advantage there, and where, you know, a West River hunter has only got a portion of the rut, the East River guy has got just a portion of the rut. And we have to take a look at some of this. It's coming down the road. We need to look at it. I know this whole mule deer situation is kind of throwing a curveball at us, but we'll make a commitment that we're going to keep looking at this.
Very good. Additional comments, Commissioner Springer.
If it's possible, if the department could add on to that, the signature, or not as much a signature, but as a name listed of where they're going to hunt on private land, and phone number or address or something, because I think that's very important. It's brought up by a lot of people. I think that it's a very good tool for our COs to find out if they're in the right or in the wrong, and if it's possible without throwing it into another time period for the public, I think the department should do that.
Madam Chair, yes. If I may. Commissioner, yes, it's certainly an item that we heard many folks bring forward, right? To bring forward the similar structure to special plot where in your application it does require a name of a landowner and a contact number, I believe, are the two pieces of information that are required on that application. When we look at that, we certainly understand why it was put in place for the special buck as that was developed and through that compromise. I do know, and I shared with you earlier in our conversation, you know, in the West River deer season, East River deer season, we do have units, a few units where we offer up private land licenses, antlerless licenses, but they're specifically private land only. In that particular piece, when we do that application, we do not require the landowner name and contact, and that is a private land license. Should you want to go down this path, the one thing I would offer is I don't believe that we want it as an expectation that we would be contacting each and every one of these landowners to make sure that they were asked for permission, because there would be thousands of them, and it would be a very time-consuming process. Now, it could be used as a piece of information in a conversation if something comes up, but I would hope the expectation wouldn't be there even from the public that all of a sudden we're going to verify each one of them. Because it is important to remember that even on special buck, you put a name and a number, that doesn't mean you're limited to that landowner only. You can get permission from other landowners and also hunt on their property. It's more of that initial contact information. So I believe, yes, it could be included. And if that is the desire of the commission, then I believe that would be a further amendment. I don't know that it's necessarily that important to have in it, but if you believe that that's something that you folks would like to have part of it, then I would recommend that you make an amendment to the proposal.
Tom, I think it might not be used that much, but say, for instance, you got non-residents, and they didn't draw the public. And they said, well, shoot, we can just draw the landowner one, and they don't have no place to hunt, yet they come. And I think it's a tool that if they're caught in the wrong and they're sneaking in on private land to hunt, it's a tool to find them like we should be fine. That's the point I want to make. I mean, it's just something that the conservation officer can check into, and there's probably a very small percentage, but those kind of percentages spoil it for everybody else. And I think that it's just a tool we should have.
Commissioner Spring, are you wanting to amend that onto it today, or are you just asking the department to include that in future conversations?
When I talked to Tom, he said that he didn't know for sure if we could do it for positive, but if we could, do we need a motion for that, or do we not?
Madam Chair, so looking at the public notice and how it is written in terms of what could be included, I do believe that you could include that. So if that would be the desire of the committee body, then I would recommend you make it as an amendment to your proposal. You would vote on the amended proposal and then take a final action on it.
Well, I'll make the motion.
So the motion is to amend the proposal that we have in front of us to include private landowner information when non-residents are hunting on private land. Do we need to write this down and have it submitted?
I think, Chairman, Commissioner Brees, I think it's a good idea, but to implement it right now, I think it'd be kind of a rush until we know all the information and what it would take to do this and how the department's going to implement it and control it. And I think we could handle this during our deer season or our
deer plan.
And that gives the department more time for us to figure out how it's going to be implemented and recorded and what type of advantages it would be and for the department to use that. Is my opinion.
That would be fine. It's just something we need to look at.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's a good idea, but I think there's a lot of unknowns we should look into first before we just add it on and have it there.
Okay, so we will withdraw that motion. So the amendment.
Madam Chair, you do have a first and a second.
No.
No, we didn't have a second, I don't believe.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you did have a second. Okay, my bad.
Okay. So, any other questions, comments from commissioners? Tom, I'm going to go back to you because I know we have a change that we need to look at, but we already had a motion to approve the issue at hand, but we have this additional change.
So, Madam Chair, that was my fault not being clear enough. I knew we didn't have a first and second on what Commissioner Spring is talking about, but originally you had a first and second. I just wanted to remind you that we need to first take a first and a second and a motion on the current and amend it. And once you have approved the amendment, then do another action to finalize the amended proposal. So my apologies.
So what we're going to make a motion to approve the changes that Director Kirschman brought up in his presentation. So we need a motion and a second on the amendments or the change that Director Kirschman brought up that's in the bill.
Awesome.
Moved by Commissioner Bartling. Second by Commissioner Spring. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
So now we'll be moving forward with the issue at hand.
Correct. Now you would take a motion, a second, and take action on the amended proposal.
Yep. Any other questions, comments before we move forward with this? I just have a few things that I want to bring up because I know all of us have been contacted by several folks within the state and out of the state. And I have appreciated all of those that have reached out. And there was a variety of opinions on what folks wanted us to do. And I think it helped lift the importance of this issue to our resident hunters and our non-resident hunters in our state. And I appreciate the compromise that has been put forth by the department. There was a group that got together. Members of this commission were on that group. They talked about different ways to move forward, knowing we cannot please everybody and we cannot give everybody what they want. I think this is a compromise. I think this is a good way where we can walk and not run to make this change, because it sounds like there are going to be deeper conversations as to where we go with this into the future. And I was encouraged that those that came forward who were not happy with the proposal still asked us to move forward with it because they recognize it is a step forward and this is part of the process. So with that, I need a motion to move forward with the issue at hand.
So
moved by Commissioner Beese.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Bartling. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
And it is adopted as is. And that takes us to almost 10 after the hour. Good job. We've worked hard today, everyone. We will return tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. We've got some great information that will be presented to us by the department. We will be at recess until tomorrow morning.